1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we're at. Studying God's Word and learning and growing. And that is really the theme for tonight, is studying God's Word and learning and growing. We all understand physically that in order to grow and to be strengthened in our body, physical body, we must have an intake of physical food. That's just the way that God has made us. If any one of us stopped eating for a prolonged period of time, eventually we would die, because we're made to be nourished, and we need more than just the sunlight. We need more than just water. We need our food so that we can grow, so that our bodies can be nourished. And so it's very important for the physical body that we take in food. It's very important for the spiritual body that we have an ongoing, normal intake of spiritual nourishment. Now, Paul is writing, confronting this church at Corinth concerning their spiritual lives and the things that have rubbed off from the community there in Corinth. And certainly there was a lot of struggles, but the church at Corinth had their fair share of struggles, and carnality was there. Carnality is fleshly living. It's not talking, the word is not referring to just things of the flesh, in other words, food. Carnality would be that fleshly abuse in those things that appeal to our flesh, as far as sin and life. Okay, those things that would appeal to us in our sin nature, and so we're talking about the flesh here, and so carnal living. Things that inhibit, I think you understand that idea. Things that inhibit, they block something from working. Certainly there's things in life that inhibit growth, inhibit things from being let in or let out, something that gets in the way. There's a lot of things that we could talk about tonight that get in the way of our lives. Certainly obstacles get in the way of things and keep us from getting to where we're going. You know that it's when we're in a hurry and we're trying to make it somewhere that you come to that place and they're doing construction, and it is inhibiting for you to get there when you want to get there. And so there's an obstacle in place. And of course, we always have to test our spirit to see if we're walking in the spirit when we come up with one of those obstacles as we're trying to get there. And you know what I'm talking about. You're trying to get there, and then all of a sudden there's that delay, or there's that hold up, that obstacle that has been put in place that is keeping you from getting there. Sometimes it's a work project that you think, this is what you guys say to your wives. She says, when you're going out to the garage, how long is it going to be? Oh, it's only going to be at most an hour. Right? That's what I say all the time. Every time, you know, this is going to be an easy one. I'll be in half an hour, whatever. I don't know that I ever came in that half hour or that hour. Usually it's, hey, you know, Melissa, you know, Ezekiel, go out there and see where Daddy's at, you know, and how's it coming? Well, it's a little slower than what I thought, okay? It's always that way. It seems as though it very rarely goes. Why? Because there's obstacles that get in the way. You didn't even think about this one thing. You're working away, and then all of a sudden, oh, I don't have any more of those. Oh, now I got to go to the store. Now I've got to stop, and I've got to go get this piece, or I don't have any more. Where is that tool that I know I have around here, and you can't find it? And there's something every time that inhibits us, and it prevents us from getting that job done just the way that we thought. And I think that you understand what I'm talking about. Roadblocks come in the way. You know, in the spiritual life, there are roadblocks that come into our lives that prevent us from being the spiritual Christians that God wants us to be. Roadblocks in our lives. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and starting in the first four verses, give us some roadblocks in our Christian lives that will prevent us from being the Christians that we ought to be. Before we look at these four verses, I want to call your attention to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, which says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Here in this verse, Peter is challenging us to grow in grace. Not just physically grow, but grow in grace. Grow in understanding God's grace to you. Learn more about the person of God and all that he's done for you. That person that has given so much of himself. Grow in the knowledge of him. Get to know who he is and see the benefits that he provides. That's what Peter encourages us at the end of 2 Peter, that we would grow in this area of our lives, that we would become knowledgeable in him, and that we would see the benefit of God's grace in our lives. That's the challenge for us in 2 Peter. My question to you is, what blinds a man from receiving these things of God, or the things of God? What keeps us back from that growth? Again, there's physical things that stunt or prevent us from growing physically. Spiritually, what are the things that are keeping us from growing in the Lord? Now, at the end of chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians, which we just finished, we have seen that the unregenerate man, the natural man, the unsaved man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. It's impossible. He cannot understand those hard things to understand. They can't get it. They don't have, as it's referred to in the last verse there in chapter 2, they don't have the mind of Christ. They don't have the ability to think that way. And it's only when we're saved and under God that the Holy Spirit shows us his things. Remember Revelation. God has made himself known to mankind. He has given himself. We're thankful for revelation that God has revealed himself, that he didn't keep himself all closed up and a big mystery that no man could ever know. But he showed himself to the prophets and the apostles so that they could record for us. And that, of course, is in inspiration. So the revelation was given. Inspiration was given to these men so that they can put that ink on paper, those words on paper, so that you and I could read it and give a tool to the Holy Spirit so that he can illumine our hearts and so that we can see and think the same thing, the mind of Jesus Christ. We can have that. We now have access to what Jesus thinks and what he knows and who he is. We have access through the Word of God, the written Word of God, that we have that. Okay? And so the end of chapter 2 was that transmission of giving us this of himself so that we can know. But the unsaved, unregenerate, natural man cannot know. But can I also say this? There's an ability that the saved man can know, yet if there's carnality involved in his life, it can be a roadblock of knowing who God is. It can stop right there. And so this evening, we want to look for a few moments at the carnal Christian, and I want you to see two truth-telling signs of carnality within a Christian. And any one of us can have these things in our lives at any given time. In fact, I would say tonight is very important for you as you listen to pray, maybe right now, to pray and say, God, if there's anything in my life that's going to be addressed here, and there's just two things that we're going to be looking at, maybe multiple applications, but two things in my life that are getting in the way, roadblocks for me for knowing Christ, having that knowledge, and then growing in Christ. God, would you show me those roadblocks, and would you help me to get rid of that carnality so that I can grow and be the Christian that you want me to be? You know, my son, my oldest son, when he's been growing up, he had a goal of getting past his dad in height. You know what? That's something that he wanted. He fought for that. He did whatever he could do, ate a lot to get there, and he still is doing it. And I don't know if it seems like he's still getting taller. I don't know. Every time, it just seems like he's getting taller and taller. But anyway, at any time, there were times that there were some, you know, he would stop. I was certain right around the time that he approached me, he was only probably within a quarter of an inch of me. He stopped for quite a long time. In fact, my memory serves me correctly. I think it was probably about 9 months or so that he wasn't going anywhere. And I was convinced that I had him beat, okay? I don't beat too many people when it comes to height, all right? But I thought, hey, it seems as though he grew. And see, that's the way I was. When I was growing up, I did all of my growing this way. I did all of my growing that way up until eighth grade. When I got to eighth grade, I was the same height as I am now. I didn't grow any taller. And so Ezekiel, it was right around that time that he got to about that height. And then for, again, those 9 months, he didn't grow anymore. I thought, I'm sorry, bud. You're not going to get past me, okay? It's not going to happen. And he stayed that way for 9 months. I say 9 months. I don't exactly know what it was. But then he started to shoot up again. What was it that got in the way of that growth? Now, I don't know, and I don't know that there was anything as an obstacle in the way, but for some reason, he didn't. Seems like his feet continued to grow, but he didn't keep growing taller. But there was something there that was a roadblock that kept him from growing. He was still eating, he was still doing, but it stopped there. You know, sometimes in our Christian lives, we're going along, and maybe there's good growth, and there's positive things happening, we're learning things from the scriptures. When you come to church, it's a refreshment. You hear things and things are explained, and maybe you can understand that passage or that thought about faithfulness, God's faithfulness, and it's a blessing to you. And then there's times where things get in the way and we're not growing. What are those things that we see here in these verses that get in the way? And I trust that we can learn some things so that we can continue to grow as a Christian. Now, I want you to think for a moment, by sake of illustration, a machine, something that is put together mechanically that works and operates to produce something. There are two things that we need to consider with a machine. Okay, it could be, I think, an easy thing that we could look at is a vehicle. Okay, with a vehicle, there's probably lots of aspects that we could look at, but this evening, two things that we want to consider. Okay, with this piece of equipment. Number one would be its fuel. Its fuel. What does it take to operate or power? There's a lot of different machines or different things that are powered by different things. There's gasoline-powered things. There's solar-powered things. In some cases, there's maybe something that is gravity, maybe it's electricity, but it's powered through something. Something gives it the power and strength so that it will function. Okay, so the first thing is its fuel, what it takes so that it will move or it will function. And of course, the power says a lot about the performance. I know they're making battery-operated tools these days that are starting to get closer to, you know, gas-powered things. And some of you guys might have your opinions on battery-powered things versus gas-operated things. But I will say this, they've made a lot of improvement with the battery-powered tools. But go back 10, 15, 20 years, the battery operated things and even the electric powered things the battery powered things didn't compare so much to those things. You couldn't get the output back then that you can get out of them now. And back then you definitely always went with that power tool or that gas operated thing. Nowadays, you got your choice, and it's there. But a lot of things can be seen through what the fuel is, on what the output is going to be. And that brings us to the second thing. As we look at the fuel, we also look at the fruit. What is going to come? What's going to be produced out of that? And of course, as the fuel says a lot about the performance, the fruit says a lot about the machine's worth. Of what's going to come out of this? What is going to be the final product? What am I getting with this? And honestly, folks, that's true with the machine, but what we're going to look at here in these first four verses We're going to see two things. We're going to see the fuel in our Christian lives, and we're going to see the fruit in our Christian lives. And these things are going to be used to help us as signs in our lives. Is there some carnality here that is keeping me and hindering me from spiritual growth? So the first thing I want to look at is the fuel. The fuel. As you look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, let's identify this fuel. Look at the first two verses. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So he's already starting off by saying the output isn't the greatest. There's some carnality here. Now he gets to the fuel in verse 2. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Let's stop with that. The fuel of these people. What were they being fed with? Now, I think it's unsaid here, but Paul would have liked to have fed them with what? Well, he does say, "and not with meat." As a person, well, let's physically, when a person is born, it's very important that they start off with the right kind of food, isn't it? It's important. A baby is not able to take the hard things like the meat and be able to digest it in his body, in his or her body. And so we start with something very, very good, but yet very basic. And of course we have colostrum, milk, which gets that life going and get it started. And that's exactly what that new life needs to get on the right foot. It helps with the immunities and it helps with so much getting started in life. Very important. But we also know that if that baby were just to stay on that same diet, there would be some deficiencies later on in life if they only stayed with that very limited diet. Very important in the beginning that they get that milk. Very important later that they move on to things that are more suitable. Now, if you're a health person out there, the point is not milk and meat, okay? So let that go. I don't believe we're talking about just milk and just meat. We're talking about the basics, and we're talking about things that are more complex that are going to help. So, you know, if you're a person out here that you're against meat and you know, food, forget that, because that's not the point. The point is the things that your body needs is as you get older and your body is getting strengthened and the things, the tasks that you need to do, that you get those spiritual nutrition that you need, okay? So forget the physical milk and the meat, but we use that as an illustration, though, in this passage. Carnal Christians cannot bear the spiritual meat of the Word. The harder things in the Word of God, the deeper things, a newborn Christian does not have the ability to understand all those things yet, so they start off with the things, the basic things, the milk of the Word of God. When a person gets saved, freshly saved, we don't send them into something so in-depth that they're going to get very quickly lost. What we do is we start them in a very basic study. Something that they learn a little bit more about salvation, the decision that they made. They learn a little bit about the importance of God's Word. They learn about the importance of church, the importance of maybe being baptized and identifying as a believer. We learn the importance of maybe tithing in church and all of the basic things that people need to learn. And as they understand those things and their security as a believer and they understand all these things, then you gradually give them more and more and more, and they build off of that and they grow. Here we see that these people were being fed. They started off with the milk, but not with meat. And he says at the end of the verse, "For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." You know, you can tell a lot about a person by their diet. Now, I know that I can't look at you and say, "Oh, I know exactly what he eats." We're not talking about that, but let me put it this way. you can certainly understand some things about why some people, you know, okay, they obviously don't do this or obviously don't do that. You know, maybe a person that's, your body responds to the things that we take in, okay? And if a person is lacking in any one of those things, there's going to be some results of that. You know, you're weak, you know, and you're tired, and maybe you're eating some of the things that aren't providing the proper nutrition for you or the right fuel that you're taking in. So, you know, you've heard the phrase, you are what you eat, right? Okay, and to a point, that's going to be true. You know, if you have a certain diet on certain type of things, then your body is going to develop in a certain way that would reflect that. Now, I don't know if this is true, but they say, you know, when you look at the inside of a person, you know, it would reflect the kind of food that they had a steady diet on, because it resembles some of that. I'm not saying it exactly looks like that food, but it's, you're going to be able to identify the kind of food, because that's what you are feeding your body with. And so, you know, if a person only, you know, ate vegetables, you can maybe think and imagine what the person might look like. I know that there's room for a difference there. But if you only ate baby food, you know, remember back to those days? Well, probably not. But maybe you remember back to the days when you fed maybe your children or those babies, those infants, that baby food that went in. Can you imagine what we would even look like in our strength if we just still had that steady diet of baby? I'd have to eat a lot of baby food, I think, to be able to survive. But can you imagine, what would we be like if we only ate that food? What would we be like if we, you know, just ate that meat and that bread? And of course, we see this in the spiritual life. It's very similar. Depending on our diet and what the fuel is and what we're taking in, the output is going to come from that. When a person is only going to stick with the very basics, there's not going to be much depth and strength that is needed in the spiritual life. When a person gets saved, obviously we've got to start them on something simple, a devotional. You know, I would encourage somebody that's freshly saved, I would encourage you to read through maybe John. Read through something, you know, and get strengthened in what you are in Christ now. You know, you've gotten saved. Maybe strengthen them up in their salvation. And probably when a person gets saved, you're not going to send them to the book of Revelation and say, hey, dig in. Okay? And get all this, you know, stuff that some of us who have been saved for a very long time still have a hard time understanding and how it works together. But you're going to give them something very basic. And they're going to grow in this. You know, the message of the cross, is it important? Yeah, it is. It's very important. But can you imagine if all we ever did, you know, for our devotions, personal devotions, is just read, you know, just about the basics of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not against that. Obviously, we should read the gospel. But are there more things in the scriptures beyond just the gospel? Or there are more things. You know what? I don't read every day, I just study every day just on how I was saved and glory in my salvation and praise the Lord that I'm saved. God saved me to do something, didn't He? He wants me to take what I've, my salvation, and I'm born again, not just to glory in my being born again, but to be born again so that I can do something, so that I can produce fruit for Christ. And the point of this first point is, as we look at the fuel, is that we need to take in, and according to our take in, we are going to be. Many people in the Christian life stick with very basics. Folks, I want to encourage you that when you were a child, there are some child devotionals that you can do that would be very helpful. But I'll say this, as you grow older in Christ, you're going to need something more. Get into the Word more. Study the Word more. We need to be challenged as an individual. We understand that in the physical life, we cannot survive and be called to do what God has called us to do if we still are eating mashed up bananas. That baby food, we've got to eat something more to get that strength to do what God has called us to do physically. And I know that when I've not had, you know, the proper nourishment, and you feel tired and weak, And when whatever, you feel like you've got to get that food so that you can have that strength. Certainly knowing about Christ and His death is important. Knowing the facts of Bible stories is important. In fact, I think it's good for the children as they're growing up in their Bible classes, in their Sunday school classes, in their clubs. They need to hear the stories. But folks, we need more than Bible stories to grow in the Christian walk. There's something more that we need. The Ten Commandments, the basics of the Word of God, super important for us, but we've got to get more in depth. There's more for us. There's more than salvation. There's the things that God wants us to live out. But a lot of people stop with the basics. A lot of people are still doing the same thing for devotions when they were children. Folks, I want to encourage you, and we're not just talking about devotions, but I want to encourage you, what you're fueling yourself with is going to be proportionate to the output and what we're going to be able to do. Again, I know that battery-powered things have come a long ways, but back in the day when the batteries were much weaker, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. And that's all you got out of it. What you're putting in and as a Christian into your lives spiritually is all you're going to be able to get out. You say, how come I don't feel like I have the strength when I am confronted with this temptation to say no? Why do I keep on giving into it? My question is what are you putting in? If we're still reading our childhood devotional, which introduces us to a couple words of or a phrase of the Word of God, and just talking a little bit about that and trying to set you straight in your day, folks, I'm telling you, it's kind of like that little jar of mashed up whatever. We're going to be weak. We're not going to have the strength. I would encourage us, we need to start to dig into the Word of God. What kind of things are we eating today? As you're getting into the Word of God, what are we taking in as spiritual food? How are we listening to our preaching? And are we taking notes? Are we reviewing it through the rest of the week? Are we trying to digest it? Are we trying to get more things? What spiritual things are you going through right now? Goals for our family. What do we want our kids to learn? It's important that they go through the stories, but I will tell you in our family, and I don't tell you this to lift us up at all, but we try to learn important things. Recently, we just studied why church is so important, and we dug deeper into just the, well, it's important that we do this and this, and some of the, just some things that we need to think through of why. The deeper things of why church is, what God did when He created the church, and dig into what the Word of God says about some of these things. You know, our goal in life, you know, for my children is not just that they stay out of jail. It's not just they don't get in major trouble. I want my kids to walk spiritually. What are we desiring for output, and what we're putting in is related to that. We've got to make sure that we're really growing and studying the Word of God. Got a lot of notes here. I got to be selective in what I'm giving you. As far as this point, what's the application for tonight? First of all, I think that we need to not be content to stay right where we're at. I think in the scope of things, you know, as we grow, we've got to make sure that we as Christians are not okay. So, you know, well, Pastor, I have this, I know this, I'm arrived, or I'm there, and I'm okay. I don't really need to get any deeper. That's where the devil would like you to be content with. But every one of us, God wants us to grow. That we would grow thereby. We want to grow. And so we need not to be content to stay where we're at. So wherever you're at, and everybody in this building is at a different place. There's some people that have not been saved as long, and you don't know as much, and maybe you're still on the milk. But the milk has got to move towards the solids, and from the solids to other things. We've got to start getting a variety of things. So we, number one, not to be content with that. But second of all, we need to become students of God's Word. Folks, it's absolutely mandatory as we look at this. If we're not students of God's Word, it's going to be a roadblock in our Christian life, guaranteed. If you're not going to study, and when I say study, I'm not just talking about reading and closing your Bible. I'm talking about being students of God's Word, studying. I wonder, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, how many of you study God's Word? Again, don't raise your hand. I'm not talking about just reading a passage, trying to understand it and praying, which is good. That's what you ought to do. But how many of you study God's Word? You say, well, Pastor, that was just given to the pastor to do that. No, every one of us as Christians needs to be diligent in studying God's Word, like the Bereans that studied it for themselves. And so my question to you, and this is meant to be a pointed question, are you studying God's Word? The word study is to be diligent. Are you being diligent with God's Word? Are you digging into God's Word? Are you mining out God's Word? Are you trying to discover the truth? Are you studying God's Word? Studying could involve word studies, getting into taking what is given there on the page and looking into it deeper. You realize what I do, and by the way, I do not, in my preaching, I do not get very deep at all. We could get a whole lot deeper, but I don't know that it'd be super valuable at this stage. Right now, we could get a lot deeper, but we stay, I wouldn't say superficial, but we stay closer to the top with things. But folks, in our personal lives, we've got to desire to get deeper than that and to really study. But do you know that it's not just the thing for the pastor to get at all deep and let him explain? It's important for all of us to get deeper and to understand. And all of us have the ability and capabilities to us to get deeper in the Word of God. Every one of us. You don't have to know Hebrew or Greek. You don't have to have all kinds of college or seminary background in it. There are so many things out there today that God has made available for us through tools that any one of us can study the Word of God in much greater depth. There was no doubt. And I'm not going to spend the time this evening, but I want to tell you, if you would like to study the Word of God deeper, come and talk to me, because I'd love to get you some tools in your hands that would help you to get just a little bit deeper than just the superficial, maybe things that you've been reading. There's a whole lot more. Have you ever been sitting here listening and I have shared a word or a concept to you that you never understood and all of a sudden it was like, wow, I didn't know that that was there. Well, can I tell you, it's not because I'm so smart, because I'm not. But it's just because I use some tools to dig a little bit deeper and study. And I'll tell you, the Word of God is filled with gems that are right under the surface. But if you don't get a shovel and dig, you have no idea that you're walking right over them. So much to learn. You say, Pastor, does that mean I have to be smart? No. Take the tools that God has given. God has already told you through the Holy Spirit that He will illumine your heart and mind. Pray about it. Get a tool and help you and walk right through the passage and let it become deeper. You see, that's going from milk to the next level. And from that level, you can go to the next level and you can study the Word of God like I do and even 100 times deeper than I do and get into the Word of God and study so that you can produce something that's important. We shouldn't stay content with where we're at. We should be students of God's Word. That's kind of a combination with the third one. Get involved in in-depth Bible study. Get beyond. Now, when I say this, and if you have that free devotions, it's absolutely fine. But my friends, I do not believe that God intends for all of us to stay having devotions just with like a daily bread or something like that, which I think is okay, and it's good if you're involved in that. But folks, I believe with all my heart, God wants us to get deeper than reading about a verse that somebody else talked about. You get in and you study for yourself what the verse said. Get a commentary. Get something that will help you to understand the words. That is not even hard. Get a Strong's Concordance. I'll tell you what, even just looking at the original word that's used there will give you nuggets of truth that you never understood. Just a word. That will do tremendous things for you. But get a shovel, get a tool, and dig a little bit underneath. There are so many gems that are right under the surface for you that you have never, ever taken a bite of. It's there. And there's so much that you could get. That's what he's talking about here. The reason why these Christians were carnal is because they were still. They were still on the surface looking around and saying, you know what, I don't know if there's anything else here. It's all gotten. I don't learn anything anymore. It's time to take a shovel and start digging a little bit deeper. And then, of course, there's other things in our church. We're not doing it right now in this semester, but we've talked about doing more electives, but we have, you know, FBI, and we want to do that and have some more electives that come up. And folks, I want to tell you something. If you're interested, talk to me about it. We've got a lot cut out for us this year, and we had thought about doing FBI this semester and doing an elective with Christmas Hope Festival for the first year. We kind of decided, let's put that off, but I want to tell you, very soon here, we want to do another class. And that's a great tool to help you get a little bit deeper as well. It goes beyond the Sunday morning and gets you a little bit deeper behind what's behind that Sunday morning message, if I could put it that way. A lot of that FBI, and there's other materials, other things. I'll just say this. If anybody wanted to do another study that was deeper in this and all the major things of the Word of God, I've got tools right in my office, right back there, that I could give you. Our church has had them. There's a big study that you could go through, written pages of reading this, looking at a text, answering questions that would help you get a little bit deeper. If you're interested, let me know. It's a way that we can go beyond the surface. Let's look at their fruit. Okay, so the fuel. Is it important what we intake? Absolutely. And I want to encourage you as your pastor, let's get deeper. Let's move on. I hope I didn't offend anybody that's reading the Daily Bread. That's okay. That's good because it helps you to get started. But I'll just say this. Let's get beyond that. Let's keep reading that, but let's start to get beyond that. And let's start studying the Word of God in a little bit deeper of a way. Okay? Second of all, let's look at their fruit. So what we're putting in is super important, but what is put out is very important. You can tell a machine by what you feed it, what you fuel it with, but you can tell a machine by what fruit comes out of it. What is it going to produce? Now, I want you to notice in verses 3 and 4, these Christians were carnal, and there was a roadblock because they were producing something that wasn't good. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying. Look at what was coming out of these people. Envying. I want to tell you something. When you study the Word of God in depth, the production of that, the fruit of that, is not going to be envy. And I'll tell you, when envy comes out, it's because there's not good intake. You don't realize carnality comes because we're not in the Word of God and we're not studying who He is. When we study God and who He is, guess what it's going to do? It's going to produce a Christian that has the mind of Christ and actions of Christ. When we're not walking with the Lord the right way, it's because we're not in the Word of God the right way. We don't know who He is. We don't understand Him. And by the way, with our theme, faith in a faithful God, the reason why we're not faithful is because we don't understand the faithful God. We do not understand His faithfulness. That's why I believe that we need to put a focus here at the beginning of the year on God's faithfulness before we ever start approaching our faithfulness. We've got to learn His faithfulness. Otherwise, we'll never be. We've got to learn who God is so that we can be. But these people, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? And so, you know, this kind of action, you think of the words used here. There was envying. You know, he has that and I want it. There was strife and, you know, I want it and I'm gonna do whatever I can to get it. That's the kind of, you know, these words that are used here. There was strife and fighting, there were divisions among them. Honestly, when I think about what was going on, what Paul says in this Corinthian church, it kind of reminds me of things that go on in a nursery. And I don't mean to belittle the nursery, but you know what? You get a group of little ones together, what's going to come out? A lot of selfishness. You know, you give a group of kids some toys, and it's going to be crazy. I had heard this one time, a preacher preached it, and I found it myself. You know, this right here is the toddler's rules for possession. Okay, if I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours. If I'm building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you are playing with something and put it down, it becomes mine. If it's broken, it's yours. Okay? Now that's the mentality of the toddler, okay? But folks, in the Christian life, that is not where God wants us to be. We expect that from the toddlers. We expect that in the nursery. You know, nursery workers, that's going to happen, okay? And we're trying to grow them. But my friends, I want to tell you something. If that's happening as adults in churches, which it does, there's something wrong. There's carnality. And there's carnality because we've not gotten into the Word of God. We can see the fruit that comes out is indicative of the fuel that was put in. And so we've got to be so careful that we're getting into the Word of God. Again, envying, strife, divisions. It sounds very immature, but it's flesh-driven, self-driven. Honestly, folks, what our input is going to dictate our output. Are you known to be a loving person? Think about that. Are you known here at the church to be a very loving person? Are you known of being a self-giving person? Are you known of being an edifying person, a listening person? Are you known for your love for the Lord and your surrendered heart for service, whatever the Lord wants you to do? The fruit is going to be indicative of what we're taking in, the fuel. Or are you a person after your own way, opposed to anyone else that does not see it your way? Dividing yourself from those who are not just like you. The Bible does say in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. But I'll tell you, it's more than children that are known by their doings. As children of God, we're known by our doings, whether our work be pure or whether it be right. The point that Paul makes in this passage, I believe some of the things here is one of the key things that was influencing these people at Corinth from having all of this. Remember, chapter 1, chapter 2, they were fighting, divisions, I'm of them, I'm of this. I'll tell you where they weren't, and they were not getting into God's Word. They were not digging deep. Their fuel was very weak. Fuel. And as a result, their fruit was very carnal fruit, very fleshly driven fruit. When a church is a church filled with carnality, strife, division, fightings, struggles, it's very clear for someone to step back, say there needs to be a return. The Scriptures. We must need to get into God's Word. My friend, I ask you as we close tonight, what's your fuel? Are you getting in and digging? There's no way that our church is going to remain a peaceful, pure, right place if the people that are attending this church are not in God's Word. And it's more than reading, it's studying, it's being diligent with it, understanding what's going on. What are the doctrines of our belief? Why we are what we are, who we are. Understanding why we believe it. Get into the Word of God and let's figure out why we are, who we are, what God has made us. When we do that, we fuel ourselves the right way, it's going to produce maturity, spiritual maturity. We're going to be able to tell. We are what we eat. And so we see that carnality comes from a lack of digging into God's Word. Fuel, and fruit. Father, would you help us? Lord, my prayer tonight is that we would, that this would maybe fuel a fire of maybe invigorating people to dig into the Word of God more. Lord, help us to desire to understand the Word of God in a deeper way. Lord, it's wonderful to get into the Word and read. And we all need to do that. There's a good place for that. But Lord, there's a place that we all need to be studying your Word as well. God, would you help each person here? I don't know where everybody's at. I don't know what they do. But Lord, I pray that you would encourage them to study your Word and that they would grow and gain that strength and nutrition so that they can be that individual that can be used of you to do great and mighty things. That fruit that is going to remain, that fruit that is going to be powerful. God, not that fleshly, carnal fruit that comes from the baby food that we intake. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Thank you so much for your word that we have heard today. May we grow thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals tonight.